And I attended a meeting for that last week, which we kind of discussed next steps. And I think heard our concerns. They're going to work on a map, kind of overlay that kind of includes some inventory information that takes into account landmarks and historic districts as a way to start prioritizing or deprioritizing areas that they would open up to carriers for applying to get their small cells on elements. But and they're also going to be sending out RFIs to manufacturers for ornamentals that might incorporate, you know, challenge them to make an ornamental that incorporates these elements in a compatible way, as well as new elements. We talked a lot about the green loop and the plan there, and that might be an opportunity to introduce a newer pole that would be compatible with a maybe more modern contemporary design and in areas that would be beneficial. So more to come on
great.
That.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, that's great.
So did you hear anything at the meeting that would inform our letter? I know you just got it, but
yeah.
I mean, it sounds like maybe some of it may have been addressed.
I'll read it.
Yeah. So I drafted this after our last briefing, but I didn't have the benefit. It sounds like maybe they're doing some of the things that we asked, so maybe we don't need to.
Yeah, probably. But I will read it and get back to you. When are we trying to get this out?
Yeah. I don't know that there is a deadline necessarily.
So, well, I guess I would know more about that. So they're trying to get this out pretty quickly, I think. In the next few weeks, they're trying to get the map put together, and then that map we'll review as a draft. That will also inform the kind of number of designs that they would look at based on kind of the different areas that get eliminated by the overlays. But there, I think, I don't know, I can't remember the timeline, but it is the next few months. So I think sooner the better. They're kind of moving along. They're getting a lot of pressure.
Well, maybe if they move far enough.
It sounds like the federal government was mandating.
Yeah, exactly. FCC.
Mm-hmm.
Is your mic on, Matthew? I can never hear you. It was off that timer.
It was.
Okay.
One of my gold stars.
You should put a sign in front of his.
Do not touch.
You're right. The FCC has a date on which, by which they have to comply. But maybe if we wait long enough, we won't even need to send a letter because they'll have done all these things that we asked them to do.
I think it's important to send it. I mean, yeah. And I do think they did say they had an inventory, but what we think is an inventory and what they think is an inventory is two completely different things.
That's true.
And it's really hard to comment on what they're proposing without really knowing what we're talking about.
Right.
And they may say that we have, you know, 8,000 light fixtures that actually look exactly the same, but I don't know that. And they may have some variation, and maybe some are new and some are old. I mean, you know what I mean? Some are, and if they decide they're going to replace a bunch that were actually made, you know, 10 years ago, then it's, we can't be like, oh, that's historic. So, you know, we're still kind of in a fog here. And I think it's really important. Some of these may be important. We can't just go and replace them. I think it's important to send a letter. And,
okay,
you know,
sure.
We're watching you guys, and we just need more information at this point. We may be totally fine with what they're proposing. We just don't know. We don't
right.
know the facts right now.
Yeah.
So
it does bring up an interesting concept is, and I ran into this with parks sometimes, is that in the right of way, design review doesn't always, sometimes there's no review. I mean, sometimes nobody is reviewing it because it never goes, they just do it.
I mean,
it's unfortunate, but
yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's more of an adjacency type rule we ask for, is that, you know, if you have the combination that it's a historic district and you have historic lighting fixtures, then let's put a high focus on those as opposed to other
even
stuff.
Even that's something, though.
At least
something in black and white that states these are priority areas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Try to, you know,
But I think they would first. Also include the park blocks and Tom McCall Waterfront Park and some areas like that too. Right.
Sure.
So. I agree. Good point.
And I do think we should send a letter, just if nothing else. I think any opportunity we have to influence what happens in the right of way, even if they right. normally don't get reviewed, is an opportunity for us to sort of offer something that maybe the city hasn't thought about. And they did come to us.
Right. And it could be easy for them to implement.
Yeah.
So okay. There are a couple options for sending a letter. I mean, we can look at this letter and entrust a couple of people, the subcommittee who is working on this, to add some additional comments and then just send it. That'd be the commission blessing whatever is, you know, finalized by that subcommittee. Or we can bring this back and talk about it in 3 weeks at the retreat, which I'd rather not do, or 4 weeks at the next hearing.
I mean, I'm personally fine with the subcommittee.
I am too.
I am too.
That's us three. Okay. Yeah, like swollen with power.
I mean, we're all in agreement. I'm not hearing any disagreement.
Yeah.
So.
I thought the letter was great, and I added a little tiny bit of detail, and I think we're...
Yeah. I thought the additions were good. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And maybe the way we close the loop on it is just, and I'm not sure, I haven't read through the entire thing, but just making sure they get back to us. It's not just kind of like a one-stop, like, this is what we think, but, you know, let us know what this inventory looks like. We'd like this, you know.
Well, and I will have the opportunity to review.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, and so that's a good way to follow through is just, I mean, having you there at those meetings.
Just so our understanding is that Annie Mahoney will be reviewing on behalf of the historic. We're looking forward to seeing what the first pass will be.
You know, within our, I would expect that they could come and give us a briefing again, you know, once we've gotten initial comments about it. And they would come with that map and the kind of design proposal that they're looking for, just to vet those, I think would be a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Can I set a deadline then for next Monday?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Monday. Well, what day is it? It's Monday, right?
So today's Monday. Monday. All right. Okay, and then the last thing, I sent an email about this last week. One of the things I want to talk about are the extreme examples.
Yes.
One of the things I want to talk about at the retreat is, you know, the juxtaposition, or well, you know, what the appropriate response is for significant alterations or additions to historic buildings in historic districts, especially as we face pressures for additional housing units. And, you know, historically, we've kind of heard that, and while we've seen a lot of projects come forward that are very traditional, like 221 Southwest NATO facing Waterfront Park is pretty traditional. The Keene project across from Keene Garage that was traditional. Third and Ash, Grand Belmont was pretty traditional. And what we heard at the last retreat is, well, this is what they're bringing us. It's not that we're promoting that necessarily. You guys were responding to it. So I just, we're hoping to get you guys on record as to what you're comfortable with in terms of modern additions to historic buildings and historic districts. Again, these are the extreme examples. And then these are, you know, maybe a little bit more modest. And I was hoping that each of you could do a little homework and send me an example, the name of the building and the name of the architect would be really helpful just so I can do additional digging on it. But if each of you could send me one example, it can either be an addition infill within a district or an addition to a historic building. And if you have really bad examples, you could also send that, but I kind of want to focus on the good examples. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
I still like that one in the Greenwich Village that had the kind of reinterpretation of the steel I-beam and stuff.
I think that was also Morris Edgemy.
A lot of the ones you're showing are more additions to buildings, and I'd be interested to see if folks have infill, more, you know, just looking at infill in historic districts. And
yeah, totally.
And also just make the point that the guidelines are not always the same everywhere. So what might be appropriate in one district because of the guidelines might not be appropriate in another. And, you know, you look at Chinatown, Japantown, there's an actual guideline that says reference one of the historic styles in the district. Or also the issue of materiality, and because a lot of this, you know, it's the form, but it's also the materials that I'd like to discuss or get your feedback on. So,
especially like the Japantown Chinatown issue, where there's an added overlay of having a Japantown Chinatown elements. What is that, and how do you interpret that?
I'm not sure I have a steadfast rule where it's always going to be consistent. Because I might have a different opinion, one district to another. So,
and I don't know if it's possible to, but trying to find good examples of historic period additions to buildings within our historic districts. I mean, not so much in the residential areas, but in like Alphabet, are there any? I mean, to think of.
Maya, is your mic on? Sorry.
The big addition to Yale, the college campus. You guys get the, I'm going to send it around if you don't mind. It was totally gothic, but like there was like 3 miles of facades in this project. It was enormous. Have you seen it? It was in the latest issue of Architect. I'll send it around for you guys just as a, because it was so right exactly that. And actually, I was like, what? I don't know. They kind of did a good job. I don't know.
I want to throw one more thing in the mix too, is that, the element of time. So we could look at districts, say, that are 100 years old that had an addition 50 years old, and how did that hold up over time? Because to me, you know, the zeitgeist of the moment might tell us one thing, but, you know, durability over time, does it look dated, can be a good thing. I mean, anyway, it's just fascinating to look at it over a longer period of time, because we sort of are in this one moment, but people have been doing additions to historic districts for a long time.
So. Yeah. I mean, I think those one-story additions on top of the stuff in like Old Town Skidmore.
Right.
Yeah. You know, show their age.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Fascinating topic.
Yeah.
So if I could get those examples by May 7th, that's 2 weeks from today. That would be really helpful. And if I am not hearing from you by the 4th, I'm going to be asking.
Nicely.
You're going to say something worse.
Okay. Anything else? Are we good?
Nope.
Okay. Anything else for the commission? All right. Thanks very much, everyone. Really appreciate the patience. And we almost got out before 6. So.
Almost.
Meeting adjourned, yes.